298. And the feature is obviously the coaching changes. Additions to the Iowa football staff. Abdul Hodge is back in Iowa City. He's not wearing 52. He's wearing a coach's polo. And he's going to be teaching some of the Iowa Hawkeye football players, instructing them. And Brian Ferentz slides over to the quarterback coach. We're going to talk about all that and more. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Hey, dude, what episode is this?
298, bro. Welcome in.
Welcome back, Watch Up Walk-Ons fans. This is episode 298 of the podcast. Kluver didn't tell me, or if he did, I wasn't paying attention to him. Because quite frankly, folks, I have some other things on my mind. Because yesterday, I got a letter in the mail saying that there was a lady who was very interested in buying a property in Tramore Village. And she wanted to live in this particular neighborhood quite badly. And so I told Kaylee, well, let me just ask the lady for an obscene amount of money and see if I can just make a very handsome sum of cash for moving to Nashville and having a bunch of fun. And yesterday, the realtor called me and was like, all right, let's set up a viewing of the house today. Today they walk through it at 5 p.m. our time. And now less than 90 minutes, or no, 2 p.m., sorry, 2 p.m. So it was like almost 4 hours. From the time they viewed the house, they agreed to pay me an absorbent. Is that the right word?
Absorbent
amount of cash. And it's a cash deal. You know, they're just paying it straight to me. They don't need any financing.
That's wild.
And so, yeah, I sold my house today.
I don't think I'm trying to figure out. I mean, we're going to get to the story you just told in a second, but I'm trying to find the word that you just used. Absorbent. I don't think it's a word, dude. All I can find is absorbent, which is able to soak up liquid.
Maybe I'm an idiot. And that, folks, is how an idiot makes an absorbent amount of cash on his own properties.
Oh, fuck. I'm telling you, man. Anybody who's out there and just wants to, like, you know, you're just bored and you want to mentor me into some smart real estate adventures, washed up walk-on.
And I'm now taking clients because my portfolio looks impressive.
Yeah, you look like I mean, you're 2 for 2, as they would say.
I'm 2 for 2, and most people said I wouldn't top the first one, and I topped it in 5 months.
And this is this is so stupid. Welcome into 298, everybody. Kevin said, I have a late case, which means somebody probably busted their shit and is laying on a hospital bed right now with hopefully a fixed hip or a fixed knee. Because if it ain't fixed yet, then Kevin ain't showing up tonight. But Kevin said that I told Kev, I'm like, well, you know, Drake and I like to go to bed about 9 o'clock, you know? And so we got to get this shit rolling. And so we're just going to start this thing up and 298, and here we are. Drake and I podcasted yesterday about a bunch of fun stuff on the DHT podcast. If you've heard us mention that before, that stands for Dickhead Tuesday. And that's a podcast that's exclusive to Patreon subscribers at the second or third tier level, where Drake and I don't necessarily talk about football. In fact, I don't think we've talked about football in a long, long time on that episode, on that weekly episode. And we just be dickheads. And we talk about dickhead things. And yesterday I told a story about my wife's coworker that was all time.
Absolute all time.
I mean, talk about dickhead moves. So, yeah, you're wearing a St. Louis Blues sweatshirt. Where does this thing come from?
Kaylee's from St. Louis, and when she went back home to St. Louis to visit some like friends or something, she bought me a Blues sweatshirt.
Kind of dope. Nice. Are you eating a salad?
Yeah, dude, I'm eating some kind of health food shit. I don't know. We went to find a restaurant, and this is what we ended up with. So I'm eating a healthy bowl. I don't know.
All right.
I rushed home to get to the episode.
The Green New World is where Drake went to eat, and he's got leaves in his bowl. Tonight on the episode, on the podcast, we are going to discuss a couple different things. One, Iowa picked up somebody in the transfer portal. We didn't go over. We did not go over. We're also going to discuss a couple new staff hires slash slides, I guess you would call it, as today officially through the Iowa football Twitter account, and I'm sure other avenues, they announced that Abdul Hodge, who is a legend in his own right as a player, is going to be the new tight ends coach for the University of Iowa Hawkeyes. Some would say, fire, hire. That's a good get. Kevin even tweeted about it. He said he liked it. And it takes a lot for Kevin to bring out the Twitter fingers. So we're going to talk about that. Obviously, Ken O'Keefe stepped down from that position a couple weeks ago. Abdul Hodge stays close to the program. In fact, Drake, when we were there, I know he came in for, I want to say, an entire spring ball and sort of followed Coach Wallace around with the linebackers or the entire defense, really, to kind of learn as he was getting into coaching. You're on mute if you feel like you need to say anything really important.
My apologies. I was just agreeing with you that, yes, you are correct there.
What was that, our senior year or is that our junior year?
Listen, man, I can't differentiate time.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. I'm going to pull up Abdul's. You know what? I'm actually intrigued. And because we have post editing on here with silences, dude, I found this new for everybody listening. Here's the development of Tyler Kluber as the tech guy, right? I, 3 weeks ago, found the feature on the editing program I use to truncate silences down, right? So if I just stay quiet for 5 seconds, I can just push a button that says find any silence in this recording that's over, let's call it a second and a half. And when you find any of those silences, dial them back to a second long. And so it takes out all the dead air in an entire episode without having to go in.
Fantastic.
Without having to go in and individually do it. So, dude, now if we need to pause, if we needed to just chill for 10 minutes because something happened, we can just sit here and it's an easy fix. It'll just get taken out in post with no effort. Like, I'm fucking so happy, by the way. Which also allows me to do stuff like this. I can just pull up Abdul's playing career. And if there's any weird silences as I type, it'll just get taken out. And you guys will never know if there was or not.
They may never know this conversation even happened.
Right. I could take out this whole thing. Abdul, fuck, did he get hurt in 2004? Why does it only say 2003, 2005? I don't know the history like other people do.
I think that he got hurt.
Wow, that's tough.
And when he was a player, I was at the Iowa football camp, and I was so scared of Abdul Hodge, dude.
Scary guy.
So scared. I was terrified.
Fuck, man. In 2005, he had 158 total tackles. Absolute animal.
That's seeing ball, hitting ball.
There's something about being able to get – and again, this doesn't have anything to do with his ability to coach necessarily. There's a lot of guys who are great players who never would be good coaches, right? It doesn't just translate, but there are some people who it would translate. Abdul's career in the NFL, probably not what he would have ideally wanted to see it turn into. He was a third round pick in the 2006 NFL draft after that season when he had 158 tackles, pick number 67. So he was like the first, he's like the third pick in the second, in the third round, to the Green Bay Packers. Yes. 2006, 2007 with the Packers. 2008 to 2010 with the Bengals, and then finished his career probably a short cup of coffee with the Carolina Panthers. It says didn't have a lot of stats, did not get it. Man, it just goes to show, like, savages in college, they just don't always stick, man. Wild.
The NFL is a very tough organization to be able to get your services into.
It's so tough. Unbelievable. Back to now his professional, let's call it resume. That's what it's called. He was named South Dakota's outside linebacker coach and NFL liaison in February of 2019. So exactly 3 years ago. He was a three-time All Big Ten linebacker. So the stats I found weren't fully accurate, but Iowa Hawkeyes during the span of 2002 to 2005. Most recently, he served as a football consultant for Iowa. Yep, yep. That's what he was doing with us. Where does his coaching career start? Here we go. Served as the assistant coach for several high schools and then was the head coach and defensive coordinator at Gaines Sports in Sarasota, Florida from 13 to 16. Eventually ended up at Vermillion, three-game win streak, blah, blah, blah. I mean, he worked his way up fast, man. And what I heard from what I heard over at South Dakota was he was recruiting some dudes over there. He was getting guys to come play that maybe shouldn't be choosing to play in South Dakota. And that's big news for the Hawks because now he's got.
That's a Florida connection, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what's big. We heard Dane Belton talk about it, dude. He claimed it on this podcast. Florida's got the
best. They're fast down there.
They can run now. Something in the water, they can fucking fly. It wasn't in the Marshalltown water. I know that. Shout out to Marshalltown water, though. Great water in that town. Clean.
Check this out. Hold on.
Yeah, go for it. Don't you love it? Now the silence gets cut out. I love it, bro. Just knowing that.
I just saw on Instagram today, scrolling through a football feed. Mm-hmm. There is a class of 2024 linebacker.
Okay.
So he's a sophomore in high school.
It's gonna be. Yeah, he's a sophomore.
No, he is a sophomore. He's played 2 years. Mm-hmm. And he ran 10.92 laser in the 100. He's rushed for over 2,000 varsity yards and has over 100 tackles in two seasons, freshman, sophomore year of high school. He's like the number one recruit linebacker in the country.
Good for him.
Guess what his skin color is?
Is it white?
We got one, dude. We got a sprinter. We got a sprinter.
Oh, dude, I am so curious. And I know people get uncomfortable, especially during this time.
This is no racism.
No. And I mean, if people can see or hear whatever they want to hear, I think that the people who shy away from talking about that kind of stuff are
who the best athletes in the world are.
Right.
Do we have to now just be fucking blind?
Well, yeah, there's a little bit of like, you know, you're just lying to yourself and you're not looking at the reality of situations and, you know, like how, you know, there's something to it, right? Like clearly there's a lot of really, really good black athletes in the NCAA. In fact, a big,
like, let me tell you firsthand, they're phenomenal.
Yeah. They're elite, dude.
The athletes in the NCAA are phenomenal.
Yeah.
And there's an overwhelming characteristic.
I mean, I think
the best athletes aren't white.
Well, and you look at corner in the NFL, right? Corner, arguably the most athletic position in the NFL. There's one of them, Troy Apke. And shout out to
Troy Apke.
Shout out to
Deion Sanders. Loves him some Troy Apke.
That video of him at the combine.
Hey, Deion can say it. I can say it. White boy can fly.
He can. There's something about it would be ignorant to say that heritage, where people come from, going all the way back to our ancestors and how we've evolved. Whoa, and now the creationists out there are like, whoa, dude, evolution, chill out, bros. Skin color, where are we going with this? And we welcome in our resident white D-back, Kevin Ward, to the call now, as he's about to pop in. Anyway, we've got Abdul. He was an elite linebacker. He's now coaching tight ends. I do find it interesting that these guys coach positions that they didn't play. And I'm always interested to see how that pans out. You know, it was kind of weird to me when Brian went from O-line to running backs. And I was like, man, how's that going to work? Like, what does he know about running backs? And like, how can he? And now it's like, we've got a linebacker. He knows linebackers. He coached linebackers at South Dakota. Now he's going to be a tight ends coach. What does he know about being a tight end, right? But that's how it works in coaching. Like, you kind of got
to. It is, dude. When you know football, and you can learn what you need to teach.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you, Walk-On Army listeners out there. You guys ever had an idea for a t-shirt? You've been sitting around. You're just like, man, you know, someone says something funny, or you have this ongoing joke within your family or a group of friends, and you're like, we should make t-shirts for that. We should definitely have t-shirts for that. Well, AdCraft is your people, okay? AdCraft, they've been doing our merch. Every time I have one of those ideas, I'm sitting here in the Walk-On headquarters in my office, and I'm like, that's it. We got to have that on a t-shirt. Or sometimes you guys are like, hey, we need this on a t-shirt. And we immediately get to work with AdCraft. Years ago, AdCraft took the time and effort to build their streamlined custom apparel web store service. It wasn't easy, but they felt it was necessary to give their customers a superb experience. And that's exactly what they've done. Their custom merch web store service is designed to make ordering custom apparel and merch easy and efficient. You streamline everything. I'm telling you guys, they literally take care of it all. They're so fast. They get back to me. I have an idea. Bang. Email them. Bang. I have a design. It's crazy. I'm not joking. Their web store curators will work with you to create the most optimal web store for your audience. They'll help you with product selection, artwork, store scheduling, much more. You can raise funds for your team or your club with AdCraft's fan gear fundraising program. You can literally do it all. They can take care of every part of the process. You guys know that we love them. We think you'll love them too. Go to adcraftwebstores.com to bring your custom merch to life. www.adcraftwebstores.com. Take a moment to recognize our sponsors, DRF Sports. And guess what? You're going to hear me talk about it in this episode a little bit towards the end. But DRF Sportsbook, obviously, just recently launched their first online sportsbook in Iowa. Iowa's the first people. Available at ia.drf.com or in the App Store, Google Play. They also released DRF Cash Grab just a few months ago. Rapidly growing free-to-play sports predictor app. They pride themselves in unique and industry-leading sports data. Okay, DRF Sports Pro is DRF's premium sports data subscription. And now on site at the DRF Sportsbook in Lakeside Hotel and Casino, they boast one of the largest 4K video walls in the state. You can place your bets and watch all the games this March Madness on the state-of-the-art 4K video wall. The place to be for March Madness and college basketball. All new DRF Sportsbook accounts receive a $500 risk-free bet upon sign-up. All right? DRF Sports is part of the Daily Racing Forum, America's turf authority since 1894.
Kevin, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, boys. How we doing?
Kevin Ward, good to see you back out there.
You know, we're just talking. I'm glad that came through on the turn signal, Kev line. We're just talking about Abdul. You got anything for that? Any thoughts?
Guy's a fucking hoss.
Yeah, he's a savage. If we need him to step in, we got some guys down. He might still be able to give us a few reps.
Oh, I think Abdul Hodge is good for
two quarters.
He's got one more Big Ten game in him. You know what? If we need him against Michigan October 1st, I think he could suit up and we'd be good to go.
You think he's got a whole game in him?
Oh, I think he does. Absolutely.
Fuck, man.
Dude, he still looks good. He looks like he still gets after him.
He absolutely does. What, Kevin, what do you think about the guys who played certain positions and then move, like Abdul? He played outside linebacker. He's coached linebacker, but now he moves to coach tight ends. How does that – you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, yeah. Drake said it just as I was coming on. If you know football, you know football. It's so common, not only in college but in the NFL, of guys to coach different positions that they've either, A, never played or never coached before.
Right.
I mean, you can look at our own staff. Like Coach Wallace played receiver in college. He comes onto our staff, coaches D-line. Now he's coaching the linebackers. Where he actually was with the D-line, then he's with the DBs, and then now he's with the linebackers. There's a lot that transfers from position to position that you can take to that other side of the ball or other position.
For sure.
I mean, the basic fundamentals of human movement don't change.
It's true.
And that's what you're trying to do as a position coach, is you're trying to optimize their technique so that they move as efficiently as possible. And then the strength coaches, they try to make them move as explosively and as quickly as possible. You combine the two and you get one hell of a football player.
I think that for sure with this specific situation, I mean, obviously tight ends are going up against linebackers a lot. And so there's going to be some transfer there, of course. And he's going to know, hey, I mean, he knows everything about an outside linebacker and what they're trying to do to a tight end in pass coverage, how a tight end might help in the run game. So he's going to be able to then take that to the other side of the ball. But like you said, he's just,
Just look at the last time we did it. We moved LeVar Woods from outside backers coach to tight ends coach. And he coached some pretty damn good dudes who are doing all right now.
Yeah, they're all right.
So, I mean, they're doing okay right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you take a good football coach and he can learn all he needs to learn about coaching any position on the field.
Yeah. And he's a good recruiter too. We already kind of talked about that, but he knows how to recruit, and he's got Florida connections. And right before you popped on, Drake and I were talking about stuff that would have made you uncomfortable. We're talking about black versus white athletes, and how there's this high schooler that runs, like, it was just funny.
I mean, another reason I love the hire is like, he's like an iconic Iowa guy from the 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he embodies what it meant to be tough, smart, physical Iowa defensive player back in early 2000s. Him and Greenway, like, that's when the boys of the Big Ten, that's when that kind of got going. And he knows what it's all about to be an Iowa Hawkeye and play the way that we want our guys to play. And I think he's going to be a great fit for the culture, and I think guys are going to love to play for him. We've had the opportunity to hear him speak a few times. He hung in on some meetings with us. I forget, it was spring ball or camp one year, back when he was looking to get back into coaching. Excited for our guys to have the opportunity to learn from him in the room.
You probably can't see it, Kev. You're on the call, but Drake, you see that picture?
He was big as hell.
Him and Greenway. I mean, that's, if you just search Abdul Hodge, everybody listening right now, go search Abdul Hodge. There's a picture of him and Chad, and they just, you don't want those guys to be the ones running after you. Like, bullies of the Big Ten. Yeah. Yeah. It's right there. That's scary as all get out. I mean, that's,
so I'll leave y'all with this on the Abdul Hodge hire. One of the things I'll never forget is what he said to us is, the measuring stick of an inside linebacker is how he takes on the lead play, otherwise known as the B play or the
the man maker.
Fullback, Yeah, exactly. Fullback on linebacker in the B gap. We'll meet you there.
And I want to let you know that there's two teams that I played against that taught their linebackers to dive on the ground, and you guys aren't going to be surprised to hear that the Iowa State Cyclones was one of the teams who coached their players to dive on the ground as a suicide mission against a linebacker.
I mean, yeah, you're just taking yourself out of the play. But Abdul said, you know, that's the measuring stick of a linebacker, is the first time they run that play, you should die. You should go in there with the intention of blowing that shit up, so that offensive coordinator crosses that off for the playbook for the rest of the game. Like, they should have absolutely no possibility to run that play, because you're going to be the more physical guy and you're going to stuff that hole up. You're going to get that fullback and get the fuck off of you.
Yeah, I mean, we like him. Yeah, I mean, he's Iowa Hawkeye to the bone. He is the culture. He is the legacy that's been left. Like, right. Like, we're still, I mean, him and Greenway, some of the stuff they did, he is one of the legends who built that place. Bob Sanders, Robert Gallery, go down the list. He's on the list. And bringing a guy back into the complex, into the facility to be around. I mean, he shares that mindset, and he's a part of the family before he was now recently part of the family. So, pretty freaking cool to have him back in the building, and I can't wait. I can't wait to see him on the sideline, man. That's going to be fucking cool. And I bet that's going to be emotional for him too. I bet that'll be a really cool moment. Let's quickly touch on the tight end that we picked up in the portal. We decided we didn't want to be the only team that didn't pick somebody up. Steven Stylianos, and boys, I'm looking at the ESPN profile. It says that last year he played in four games for the Lafayette Leopards, who I've never heard of. He's 6'5", 245, and he had 21 catches for 130 yards. I don't know anything about him, but if they recruited him, they must know something about him, right? We've got Sam Laporta. We've got Luke Lachey. How important is it, if this guy is viable, that we have a third tight end that's able to be rotated in and out? I'd say pretty important, right? Is it the first
position? Yeah, I mean, yeah, the third tight end on the depth chart is going to get reps in the game. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
How much? I don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't know anything about this kid. How many years of eligibility has he got left?
Dude, it's wild, this guy's stats. 2018, 2019, 2020. It looks like he's a grad transfer. I mean, he's got I don't know. He's got very limited stats. It looks like he's got 1 year left. So
we just got a John Doe playing fucking tight end for us now, or what?
Bro, you pull up his stats. He's played since his freshman year. His stats are like identical for every year. He had 14 catches, 21 catches, 9 catches, 21 catches in his 4 years at Lafayette. 102 total yards, 177, 125, 130. He had a few touchdowns mixed in there. I don't know if we sent Reese Morgan out to do some portal recruiting and he found a gem.
Down to Louisiana?
Down in the diamond in the rough, but for some reason, we offered this guy, and I have a feeling that it's more likely than not that reason becomes more clear as he steps into a Hawkeye uniform this spring and then, you know, it continues on through the summer into this season. I think
jury... Sounds like he's got a good body, good frame on him. Maybe he's a good blocker. I mean,
Could be.
I think that...
Or he's a Matt Quarles.
Oof. I hear a little heat on that. I hear a little, there's a little sriracha on the end of that. It's spicy. You didn't like that one, did you, Drake? You didn't like that transfer.
It's a bad transfer. It's a bad pickup.
Sometimes they miss, right? Sometimes we miss. Hey, Kobe missed the most shots out of any player that played, you know? Took a lot of shots. Verdict's still out on Steven. The final piece of the puzzle here is Brian Ferentz moves over from the OC tight ends coach to the OC quarterbacks coach. How do we feel about this move? We speculated on it. We talked about how maybe that would be beneficial. Twitter was not really happy with this move, because I think what Twitter sees is, oh, we've seen what Brian can do as head of the offense. Is it just going to be, is it going to get exponentially worse now that he has control of the quarterback as well? And I think that's a misled opinion or assumption.
Very misled opinion.
Could we have gone and gotten somebody else from outside of this, outside of the current staff? Sure.
Here's the thing. Don't you want your quarterback to be an extension of your play caller? Isn't that ideal?
You would think so.
Your play caller and quarterback are on the same plane of mind. They see this things the same, that they're always talking to each other. They're just on the same brainwave. That's what seems to be the most effective to me. And Brian now has multiple years as a play caller. He's much more comfortable as a play caller. He understands more things about running an offense. And now he has a much less steep climb to be able to be the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. Like, it would have been a tough job as a brand new offensive coordinator, but now he's got some time, and no better person to spend the most amount of time with of your time with than your quarterback.
I think personally that this, I don't see how it could get worse. I know that that's what everyone's out there sitting and thinking, right? Like, our offense was abysmal. Now our OC is also controlling the court. I don't know how you see that as a bad move. I think, can you be upset that, like, in your mind, some way, somehow, there's like this perfect quarterback coach out there that's going to come in and save us? Sure. Think that all you want. But I don't think that this move is necessarily a step backwards. In any sense, I think it's a slight step forward at minimum, and potentially is some weird, it's always going to come back to, this is Coach Ferentz's offense. It's a little outdated. We don't get crazy. But I think that having our quarterback on the same page, I mean, philosophy wise, right? Like, he's going to be in the room with the quarterbacks, and they're going to talk about their specific performance, but they're going to be talking about the ideas and the overall philosophy of what the 11 guys are trying to do as a unit at all times. And that's going to go right into Spencer or Alex's or Joey's ears, whoever that quarterback is. And they're going to be able to soak up more of that overarching philosophy than they would if he was still over in the tight ends room. And then, hey, this is what we're trying to do conceptually in a 30-minute meeting or whatever, like Drake said, they probably had meetings outside of the normal meetings. So, I mean, things could click. Things could absolutely click. Kevin, you have any thoughts on it?
No, I mean, I kind of just echo what you guys said. I can speak about being in the room with Phil on the defensive side. You kind of get to hear him think out loud and get an idea of how he sees things and how he wants to call his defense. Versus, obviously the coaches are on the same page, but when you're hearing it straight from the guy who's making the play calls on Saturday, you can kind of get an idea of how he's thinking.
Yep.
And I think there's a good amount of value in that, and you can kind of pull that through just by being in the room. Drake kind of said the same way. You want them to be as cohesive and on as much of the same page as possible between your quarterback and your OC. So I always thought that was the best combination, having the quarterback's coach be the offensive coordinator for that very reason.
Yeah. If I was a better podcast host, I would have had these stats already. The first team I looked up was Michigan State. Their their offensive coordinator is also their quarterback's coach. Matt Weiss is the co-offensive coordinator at Michigan. and the quarterback's coach. I would imagine if I continued to go down the list of teams here, we would find that the majority of teams, you know, just in our own conference, have offensive coordinators who are also the quarterback's coach. Maybe, just maybe, we're just catching up. Like, we finally have leveled out. We've stepped into the same realm there. So
Coach Davis was the quarterback's coach.
And we've had it before, right? Say what you want. CJ did pretty good, right? You know, during that time.
Nate was a damn good quarterback too.
And Nate wasn't bad, right? I know that I'm actually intrigued now, because does Scott Frost call the plays over in Lincoln? So Scott Frost, and this would only make sense. Their offensive coordinator is Mark Whipple, and their quarterback's coach, I don't even think they necessarily have one on the, doesn't even say that they have one. So I'm assuming that he also coaches. So even Nebraska has this, and maybe that's a bad thing. Who knows? I don't know. That's about all I have for tonight. It's a short episode. Kev, did you save any lives out there?
Didn't save any lives, but save somebody's foot tonight. So
I figured something happened. Somebody got caught in the wood chipper or something. So that's you know what? Good on you, Kev. Anything else that's fancy or fun that we want to talk about or hit on? Kind of a short, simple episode. Next week, we've got 299 and 300. 299 and 300. At this point, both of those may have a guest. One is obviously going to be a guest episode. The other one might be a guest episode, yet to be determined. Also, a little bookkeeping. If you live in the Osceola area of Iowa, your boy, for some reason, has been hired as the talent for a whole day's worth of activities over at Lakeside Casino and Hotel in Osceola. The DRF, as you know, DRF sponsors the podcast. The DRF Sportsbook is opening. That's the sportsbook. They're sponsoring the sportsbook at the Lakeside Casino and Hotel. And I'm going to be there to cut the freaking ribbon, dude. I'm cutting the ribbon. They're giving me the scissors.
Kevin, dude, what do you think about this?
They wanted all of us, by the way. They wanted all of us. I'll be honest.
Well, why isn't Kevin going?
He's got work,
even
bro.
Still, he got a fucking job. I know it's a foreign concept to you. No, even if it was all three of us, I still can't imagine us cutting ribbon on anything.
Well, I got the scissors in my hand, and
are they gonna give you a big pair of scissors?
I don't know. I don't know if there's a legit ribbon or if it's like a proverbial sort of theoretical ribbon. But I will be there. I will be making the first bet in the sports book. It's probably going to be on one or both of the Iowa basketball teams, and then I'm also going to be doing some radio work, some live breaks on maybe a radio station near you, and you'll hear my voice. Some interviews. I might even be recording a podcast with the DRF guys who are there for their podcast. I don't know. We're doing a bunch of shit. So if you're listening to this, tune into local radio stations or come stop by. Right? Maybe I can sit down at the cash game at the old Lakeside Casino and Hotel.
Jealous. I might have to come make a stop then. If you're playing cash, I want to play some cash.
Let's play some. Let me sit down at the cash.
I got some cash to play with, boys.
I know. You could take the come up on the property that you just
Which Kevin has no idea.
Yeah, Kevin has no idea. Kevin Drake sold his house.
Again?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I made a cool more than six figures.
Wait, you sold your house in Nashville?
Yeah. Yep.
You bought it 2 months ago.
I bought it in November. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you living now?
It's gonna be on the street.
Well, no. I get to stay in my house for 60 days, and I gotta rent a place down here for 90 days until I can move into the house that I buy in Arizona in August.
God, what is
but yeah, so dude,
just,
like I
so you're just moving back to Arizona?
Well, because so I always wanted to live in Arizona part time, but I thought I was going to have to spend more time in Nashville than Arizona. It turns out I'm going to get to spend more time in Arizona than Nashville because I don't have to be here in January. I need to be here in March. So I get to just flip the house, dude. I don't know. Some lady dropped an envelope in my mailbox saying that she really wanted to buy my house. And about 29 hours after I opened that letter, I was agreeing to terms on selling the house for way more than I bought it for.
So you didn't even put it on the market.
Someone absolutely said, not. Yeah, like, somebody dropped a letter with my name on it and my address in the mail with no return address on it at all. Had a letter written up from a realtor that was saying that somebody wanted this property bad. And so I offered, or I told them that we might take an offer of just an asinine amount of money. And they took it without question, bro.
Fuck, man. You should have asked for another 100K.
I know.
I didn't know that I was supposed to ask for Star Wars money.
Right. That's the thing. In negotiation, it always hurts when they accept the first offer and you're like, fuck, I could have milked them for another gallon, bro.
That's insane though, bro.
Sometimes you just don't get greedy, right?
You're right. You're right.
I haven't said I don't have a job, but my flipping houses gig is going pretty well right now.
I mean, you've made more income than I have on average in the past couple of years. I know that doing that shit. So as you guys were having that conversation, you were catching Kevin up. I looked at every coaching staff in the Big Ten. And until today, when we made this move, we were the only team in the league that did not have our offensive coordinator as the quarterback's coach as well. So that's probably saying something. If any of you were feeling a little bit iffy about this move, I think that would provide a little bit of security, maybe a little bit of closure on that. Clearly, that's what most teams do. I don't think
the fans are ever questioning that. I think it's probably more so the fact of being Brian than anything else.
Man, Brian's got some haters, bro. I would love to get Brian on this fucking podcast and talk to him for 10 hours. We could, too. We need him to go somewhere else so we can get him on the podcast, man. I want it so bad. Brian or Seth, if I had to choose one, I don't know which.
It'd be- so here, let me offer you. You can only pick three, and I'm going to give you five.
Okay. I like this.
KF, BF.
Wow.
Seth. Who was my fourth one going to be? I had another good one as the fourth.
Phil?
I don't know. Oh, Coach Doyle.
Oh.
And
Barr?
No. Niall Kinnick.
What? Where does Niall Kinnick factor to this?
Listen, man, if
those are options, we're doing three podcasts with Niall Kinnick. Get the fuck out of here.
You want to bring Niall Kinnick on here and have my bitch ass tell him that he couldn't start in today's game? That's what you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I want you to say that to his face.
I would tell him that. I would also tell him, sir, thank you for being the most American motherfucker there is. But sorry, at 5'10", 165, your place on the 2022 Hawkeyes is right bench serving the Gatorade. I'm sorry, man. It's just the way it is. The game's evolved a little bit. Hey.
I mean, we talked about some controversial stuff in our 296 episodes.
98.
That'll get you straight up canceled.
How? How am I fucking wrong on this? I can't believe
you're disrespecting an American hero.
It's not like disrespect, bro. I couldn't fucking start at any position but long snapper, and I barely could hold that one. Coach Doyle tried to get Reed Sealby to take my place. But it's just facts. It's just facts. And it's 5'7", 160.
Hey, what's our saying, man? Heart don't have stars. And he got more heart than anyone that ever put on the black and gold.
He's got twice as much heart as anybody that's put on the black or gold. But, bro, at some point, Hart does need a little junk in the trunk to be able to compete with today's athletes. That's all I'm saying. I'll give him Savage back. Put him on all the special teams. Have him run down on kickoff. I bet he could fly, right? But he's just not starting at safety at 165 in the Big Ten. He will get fucking crunched.
You know, but I think with a 2022 weightlifting program and meal plan, I think we can bump him up to 185, 190.
Okay. Did we ever play with anyone in our 5 years, or even add in the teams we played against? How many 5'7 guys ever made the field?
Mick Ellis, Keith Duncan.
Careful, because you're rattling off a couple names that I don't think add to the case. So he's our kicker. So Niles kicking. All right.
I believe he was the kicker back then too. Yeah.
He could start at kicker. He could start at kicker, and you know what? Give him punter too. Give him both. But at a legit.
I don't know. I don't know if we want to give up the Aussie.
There you go. He's got to beat out fucking Torrey Taylor to start on this team. I mean, I know that it's just, I understand that it's like a shtick to be like, but how could we fucking disrespect him? I promise I'm not disrespecting. I'm looking at it as a legitimate, how do we find a position for Niall Kinnick on the 2022 Hawkeyes? And I just don't find.
Okay, your counter question. How do you not start someone who has their statue outside the stadium that is named after you?
Because
how does that person ride the bench? You can't do it.
Kevin, because he's a liability wherever he goes. Where's he starting? Maybe corner? Maybe corner? I mean, what if DK Metcalf lines up at receiver and we've got a guy that's a foot taller than Niall Kinnick trying to – I just don't see it, man. I just don't see it. I want the guy as the general of the U.S. Army. I want him – I'll elect him as president. Dear God, would he be a better president than anybody we could come up with? Trump, Biden, the fucking Green Party, the Tea Party. Put Niall Kinnick up there. He'd run our country better than anybody. But put him at fucking safety, and they're throwing bombs like they did over Gervais's head at Iowa State in 2016. Okay? It's 48-0.
17. That was just an unnecessary.
Gervais just caught an absolute unnecessary body right there for no reason.
He bit. They ran past him, and that's all we would see if 24 Niall Kinnick was at the strong safety position, the free safety position. I don't know how you would. I agree. It was 1939. And they didn't even know what a fucking hang clean was. I would actually love to know what they did for strength. I think they just did calisthenics, like push-ups. They probably benched a little bit. Today, give him the weight room, give him the training table. Maybe he's a stacked 5'7", one. God, if he could get to 190, it'd be incredible. But then I don't know if he can move.
Could very well be taller though, too.
No. How do you get taller?
Diet, man. It plays a difference.
Wait, so you think at 21 years old he's just gonna sprout?
Well, okay. In this scenario, was Niall Kinnick born in the year 2000, or is he getting transferred in time from 1939 to now?
No.
Niall Kinnick that existed then—that's
what we're
getting
talking.
Transported right. To the now.
Dude, there's 5'7" guys now. It's not like he's – that's what I'm saying. It's like there are guys that are his size today with today's nutrition, with today's – trust me, Kev, if nutrition added any inches to any part of my body, I would have been fucking in from the
especially
moment –
especially a little pee-pee of yours.
Especially between the
legs. No, people are getting taller over the – people are getting taller.
There's
reasons behind that.
How much taller do you really think we've evolved as a human race on average in 60 years, 80 years?
I mean,
I understand that we're getting bigger as humans, but I don't know if 80 years is enough to make. Okay, give him a half inch. It can't be more than that. 5'7" and a half.
I'll take the over.
I love this hypothetical, man. It's one of my favorites because I truly do. And I love talking to you about it, Kevin, because you're so patriotic. You're so about like the statue, and I am too. I'm just saying, if he's playing at the halfback slot and Abdul Hodge comes through the hole, one of those guys is in trouble. And I'm telling you, it's not Abdul.
You know what, Kloof? Why don't you just spit on his helmet the next time you come to Kinnick Stadium, all right? Why? Because that's basically what you're doing.
It's not what I'm doing. And I know that every time I bring this up.
You know you're not supposed to sit on your helmet.
Yeah, you never sit on the helmet.
And you're sitting on Kinnick's.
Spit. S-P-I-T.
I thought you said sit. I thought you said sit on it. I was like, okay. I'm not spitting on it. And I know that, like, the fans, this is going to be so fun because every time I bring this up, the fans love chiming in. I hate America. I'm disrespecting Niall. He would have ran past me. I fully submit to the fact that Niall Kinnick was a better athlete than me. This isn't anything to do about Tyler Kluver. You didn't see me on the 2017 Hawkeyes in any sort of athletic role either. This is nothing personal. This is just straight up objective breakdown of what it takes to play in the 2020 era of college football. And I'm telling you that if he could have found a spot at 5'7", I'll give him 190. And again, he's going to look like a fucking muscle hamster at 190 at 5'7". Then he is the second coming. He really was just something special. But
hey, how tall is Brady?
Hey, Kluver, this is how I feel about you, dude.
This podcast is
how tall is Brady Roster Austin Kelly? We put him on the bowling ball diet. We make him a fullback.
Well, both of those.
I don't know if Kinnick has the body type to be Brady or Austin Kelly, boys.
I don't either. Like, I just don't think Brady Ross was five. Okay. On the Iowa football website, it says Brady was 6'1".
Not even close.
But I don't know. Was he 6 feet tall?
He's 5'11", I'll bet.
Okay, so he's got 4 inches on Niall, right? Austin Kelly, and now we're really stretching because Austin Kelly had a body type that wasn't like many. And
he had a bodybuilder's body type. He had a powerlifter's body type.
Austin Kelly, 5'11". So they've both got 4 inches on Niall.
And if Brady is 5'11", then Austin's not 5'11".
I think Austin was just as tall as me. So he was 5'10". He's probably 5'10". And now we're talking about completely different body types. So Niall Kinnick is going to be the guys that we went to, that we played with, who on Monday mornings is throwing up in the trash can because he's trying to keep body weight on. And he's still going to have to play fullback at 205, 210, 5'7", 210, 45 pounds away from his natural body weight. I love trying to make a case for it. I just don't think you can do it. Put him on special teams. I don't know. Kickoff. Put him on kickoff. He might be a liability on punt. I don't know. Unless he's the punter. He's American as fuck, and I know I'm gonna, you know, catch some good old fashioned slack for this. But every time, I don't even know how this came up. Oh, we didn't even answer the question, dude. Drake's question was: out of those five, who are we interviewing? And you're right. I probably am choosing to do 3 hours worth with Niall instead of an hour with three individuals. But
that's not the question.
My answer was: do not connect three times.
I out of those three, Drake, I'm choosing Brian, Doyle, and Niall Kinnick.
That's my three answers too.
Yep.
No, I might choose Coach Wallace over Doyle because I think that Coach Wallace and I have a more fun, and this podcast is based around fun. Like Coach Doyle, I don't know, man. Like we would have fun, but he's. I hold him at a higher regard, man. Like Coach Doyle.
I know.
I don't know. Like, it's the same reason I don't really want to do it with KF. I mean, I do. I'd love to have a conversation with him. I just don't know if I really want it recorded.
We would – right. Any recorded –
Coach Wallace and I can just, you know, have fun, shoot the shit, be boys.
Yeah, you're right. Man, it's a good question. So that just took a 15-minute turn. And you know what? You know, shit on me for it. Shit on me for my opinions. That's what this is all for. I will say this. If we got a podcast with any of those motherfuckers, we would do numbers, bro. We would do numbers. God, the conversation with some of those guys would just, it would go so deep. Niall Kinnick, 2024. That's all I have to say. Third string linebacker, though. That's it. 298. The next two, I'm really hoping that we have guests for both of those for you guys. They will be enjoyable, and the podcast will continue to roll on. We're nearing spring ball, so the boys are deep into that 8-week strength training phase, GPP, now into a heavy, they're doing heavy squats, probably tempo. Ugh. We'll continue to bring you the content. 298, Wash Up Walk-Ons, brought to you by DRF Sports. Come out and see me tomorrow, or I guess today as you're listening to this. If not, we'll see you on Monday. Peace.